Hey, look what we have found. A big sound in a small town. Far away from the bright lights. They're making music every night. Discover what is all around. A big sound.
A big sound.
Listening to Big Sound Small Town with Sandy Carlton.
I'm Stan Lowry. I'm the executive director here at the Don Gibson Theater. Have been for 15 years now.
15 years. I guess you've seen a lot of growth in the theater in that time.
We have. We've seen tremendous growth in both, you know, the folks that come to the theater,
right,
and the artists that come to the theater.
Sure. I mean, do you remember, can you remember the first act that you put in when you first started?
Oh, yeah. We people ask me that on occasion, and it's twofold. We did a one act just to test out everything.
Right.
And it was a month before we actually opened grand opening. And But it was a little rock and roll band, and did those guys. They were from Gastonia, and tried everything out, and it was great. It was take six.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember those guys.
Yeah, and it was pretty good, you know. It was
a
pretty good little thing. We had about 50 folks here, and we wanted to see how the place sounded and wanted to see how it reacted to sound.
Well, it sounds great in here.
I think it does. I think it's one of the best listening rooms in North Carolina.
I mean, I think it is, too. I think it's a really, really good. I guess your sound equipment is totally different than it was when you started, too.
Oh, absolutely. We started out with analog.
Everything
was analog.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we're all digital and, you know, digital boards and lights and everything. So
then who was the first big, or first one that took, you know, the first real one that counted?
Right. The grand opening act was Marty Stewart.
Okay. I kind of knew that, but it's one of those things that I wanted the listeners to know.
Yeah.
He's actually been a steady act since that time, too.
Yeah. Try to have Marty at least every other year now. And Marty's been here, I think, about eight times.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
He don't hold the record, but he's been here about eight times.
Who holds the record?
Edwin McCain.
Yeah, well, he's a good old South Carolina boy, and he's done well. He has.
Yeah, Edwin, first year that I booked Edwin, he told me, he said, "I've been doing a gig in Charlotte." He said, "If you'll book me here," he said, "I'll forego the Charlotte one, and I'll do this one as long as you'll have me."
Oh, that's good. Well, it'll be shorter than Charlotte and don't have to mess with Charlotte.
Yeah. So he's been here 13 times.
Wow.
Yeah, 13 of the 15. He missed COVID, and he missed the very first year.
That's just totally, totally amazing. So when you took over, how did you decide what acts you were going to bring in here? I mean, what?
Well, I mean, it's simple and it's complicated. You know, I think the biggest thing is you need to know your audience. You need to know where you live. I mean,
true. This is true.
You got to know your people, or it's not it won't work. You know, and I think that was one of the drawbacks with our first executive director. He was from Boston.
Oh yeah, so he had no idea.
Yeah, and he was bringing in some. He brought in some good acts. But I don't think he read our community like he needed to and all of that. And I, you know, that's one of the biggest things I look at is who do I think is going to sell to our people.
Well, and that's the bottom line. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, and I mean, putting people in seats and finding the acts that'll put them in the seats.
Oh yeah, that's the only way to stay in business.
Yeah.
You know, and I think. One of the other things is you need to have a wow factor every once in a while, and you know, and I try to do that. You know, we've had some really big names here.
Yeah,
folks that you wouldn't think would play a 400-seat theater.
I agree.
And so, you know, we've had some really cool people come through and interesting folks, to say the least.
And you've had also a vast array of stuff, not just music.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we do comedy, and we've had magic acts, and we've had or illusionist.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I think that's what they go with these days.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. And you know, we've had everything from punk rock to bluegrass to country,
sure.
and rock and roll, and cover bands to the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, acts all across. You know, from across the nation, a lot of Vegas acts. You know,
yeah.
I try to pick up some Vegas stuff and give our little town a little taste of Vegas every once in a while. A Vegas
right.
show.
Yeah, that's cool.
So.
Well, and you know. I notice sometimes, well, we'll use maybe someone like Paul Thorne, who's been several times. So you've had him solo and with bands.
I have. First time was with just Paul.
Yep.
And the second time he came, he said, I tell you, he said, my band would sound great in this room.
I'm sure they would.
He said, I want to bring my band. Next time. I said, that'd be great, Paul. I would love to. I just don't think I can afford
you. Right.
And he said, you can afford me. He said, I'm coming for the same price.
You know? Oh, yeah, so that's great.
Next time he booked in with a full band, you know, and he was right. God, it sounded good,
yeah.
you know. And
I mean, he's fabulous alone,
but
with the band.
And he's been in with the band from then on.
Yeah, I've seen him both ways in here. He is good both ways. But I mean, I guess you get a big in the rock and roll thing. You had Roger McGuinn in here.
Absolutely, yeah. Flavor of the Birds.
I mean, that's big. I mean, that's rock and roll history.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he couldn't afford to bring a band.
He couldn't. I mean, he could.
He could. You could.
I couldn't afford
to bring exactly.
It
in, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But he don't tour with a band a lot.
Really?
You know, he likes to come in and. He brings in like four or five different guitars, and
yeah.
he's got a sound that he's going for, and he likes to tell the stories, and
yeah.
I think a lot of times a band gets in the way of
that. It does.
You got five people standing on stage not doing anything while you're trying to tell a little bit about history of rock and roll, and which he is definitely history.
He is definitely history. I mean, that is rock and roll history without a doubt. You have a favorite person you've had in?
I tell you, I get that question a lot too, and I usually say the last one.
That's a good answer. I like
but,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a few favorites, you know, and unfortunately, they're not with us anymore. So,
yeah.
you know, got a few that's passed on. And
that's part of it, too. I mean, sometimes you feel lucky to get them in here, particularly when it's near the end of their career and you kind of know it is. You know, you're wondering if it maybe you don't even have one of the last ones. You
right,
know?
Right.
I mean,
and we have had a few that, at least one or two that this was one of their last shows.
Leon Russell probably would have been
Russell
one of his.
Was a good example, yeah.
Yeah.
Leon Russell played here, and then just not long after he was gone.
Yeah,
you know. So.
Yeah. And they're out there, you know, doing it until that's the bad thing about musicians. If they can do it, they'll do it until they die. You know.
Yeah.
If they can, it's kind of more of a sickness than it is a blessing sometimes.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, I've even had a couple artists say, you know, we talk backstage and we've got stories we tell
right.
and all that. Mine is nothing compared to theirs, of course. But, you know, I try to throw in a story or two
sure.
every now and then. But I've had a couple artists say, you know, I'm going to do this till I die.
Right.
This is what I do. This is what I love. And if I die on stage, it might be a shock to the audience, but
yeah.
that'll, you know, that's what I want to do.
Colonel Bruce Hampton sang a song,
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm dying, and he did.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I'm laughing about it, but there's a cool, he would laugh about it. I mean, it's a
yeah.
coolness to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess in this job, you have a wide open mind towards music.
I do. I mean, I love all kind of music. I like, blues and old rock and roll.
Yeah.
Blues is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
I like jazz. I like I even like big band music.
I love big band music. Yeah. I
love that.
And me too.
Even orchestra music on occasion, you know, I'll set off and listen to that.
Sure.
You know, on occasion. But, you know, country is what we are here.
Yeah, it is.
Don Gibson was a country singer-songwriter. And,
right.
You know, I feel that we pay homage to Don by doing some country. And
you do. You have an array. You've had over the years an array of country, you know.
Yeah, we've had some new and older.
Yeah, you have.
Some
yeah.
all through the middle. I mean, you know, you talk about Travis Tritt and Vince Gill, some of the biggest names in country. And, you know.
Then I saw Will Hogue, who will fall somewhere in. He's a great musician, great songwriter, but he kind of falls in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a lot of them do, you know, and we try to have a few folks that people recognize their names.
Right.
But then on occasion, we'll have somebody that you don't recognize a name. But then when they sing their songs, it's like, I didn't know he sang that.
Exactly.
I didn't know he sang that, you know. And,
that's a good thing, though. Yeah. That's a good thing. Are the acts pricing themselves out these days?
There are. There's a few, you know, especially after COVID. You know, we went dark for about 14 months, and so did artists.
Yeah.
You know, and... I don't know if they're trying to, you know, right after COVID, they were trying to play catch up a little bit. And, but travel expenses have gone up. Gas has gone up. Food has gone up. Everything has gone up so much. You can't blame them.
You can't.
For increasing their price. At the same time, you know, if the price goes up for an artist, I have to increase ticket prices.
True.
And when you increase ticket prices, then, you know, it affects...
It does.
Attendance.
It does, and you have to think about who's buying the tickets, and I mean, you know, this is a great room, so I would rather pay way more to see someone here than I would see the same act, say, in Charlotte in a big theater. I mean, I would be willing to pay substantially more here because it's here, it's a good room, it's small, it's like 400 people,
right?
Which you know this well, a full house is always more fun to play to than an empty one, you know?
That's right. I mean, you know, I look at it like you take our room and you put it in the first six or seven rows at a big, you know, at the Coliseum.
Sure.
At the outdoor amphitheater or something, you know. They call it Gold Circle.
Right, yeah,
you know?
True.
And you get in the first six, eight, 10 rows, you think you're, this is it. This
is
that place.
It is.
The first 400 people that come to a concert sit on the first
they
10
do.
Rows.
Yeah, they know? Do. And, I mean, there's not really a bad seat in here.
65 feet from the edge of the stage to the back corner.
Really? Yeah, that's good. And, I mean, that's you know, that's from a pitcher's mound in baseball. I mean, that's not really that far, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, you don't even have to have, and that's one of the beautiful things I think about this room, this theater, is that you don't have to have a screen to show what's going on. You don't have to have a big TV. So,
right.
I mean,
The people on the back row can see just as good.
Just as good.
And a lot of times I like sitting, you know, four or five rows from the back.
Sure.
It's just a. You see everything that happens on stage.
You do.
Have to.
The closer you get, the narrower.
Yeah, right.
You really have, or you have to work your neck all night looking both ways. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's when you were, I guess you inherited sound stuff when you got here that was already installed.
Well, that's a story in itself. The system that was here was adequate.
Right.
You know, and. I knew from the very beginning, even before I was executive director, I was production director here. And I knew from the very beginning that the Don Gibson Theater was going to be a notch above.
Right.
At least I wanted it to be. And I know the folks that designed and put it all together, Destination Cleveland County, definitely wanted us to be a notch above. And so we went with – I brought in equipment from the very beginning – and knew from then that we wanted to stay on the cutting edge. So that's why we're digital now.
Right,
And we just, you know, try to stay ahead of the mark.
I mean, that's the way to go. If you're going, your lighting's good, your sound equipment's really good. So and I guess at times you have to provide a backline of some type for people.
We do on occasion. If it's a really big rider, just like when we had Pablo Cruz.
Yeah.
We supplied everything.
Yeah.
They walked in with a guitar.
Yeah.
And we supplied cables. We supplied amps. We supplied everything. And I usually hire that out.
Sure.
There's a great company in Charlotte that we use, and they bring everything in for us. If it's a little smaller, I'll keep equipment here.
Right.
I do have some guitar amps, and we've got a full grand piano here on stage.
That's true, which is a wonderful thing to have.
But I've got some equipment here that if it's an amp or two.
Right.
Or
something goes bad while you're here.
Yeah. And we keep cables and guitar stuff here.
Drums. I guess drummers sometimes have to have drums, don't they?
Yeah, and we keep a full set of drums here. Ludwig Super Classic.
I have noticed, too, that a lot of times on people's riders, particularly upright bass players, sometimes they want one. But what I've learned as being an upright bass player is sometimes you just want to go ahead and bring your own, because your backline bass that you have to get sometimes is not in the best of shape.
That's right. And, you know, you got a tone that you're working with.
Yeah, you do.
An upright bass has so many different sounds. The make of the body and how it's been taken care of, how it's weathered.
And really the setup on things, too. Sometimes some people like their string setups higher than others, you know?
Yeah, you got a good slap bass.
It makes a big difference. A bluegrass bass sometimes will not work for a slap bass player.
That's right, absolutely.
Or the other way around, too. Okay, so you run sound kind of on the side, too, right?
On a production company. Have for about 40 years.
Right.
And we do all across North and South Carolina. We used to cover a lot bigger. We did Virginia, and we did Tennessee, and we did Georgia. We sort of narrowed that down now. Travel expenses so much.
They are.
By the time you get to these places, you know, it's – you sort of price yourself out.
I mean, you also provide stuff at almost stages, too, right?
Yeah, we do all production. We've got portable stages and full audio lighting, everything. We've had that company about 35 years.
Wow. How'd you get into that?
It was sort of a fluke. The very first block party, Uptown Shelby.
Yeah.
We went to it, and as a family, I took my family to it, and they were playing on a hay trailer.
Yeah.
Had the rails on the side.
Right.
It was just an old, old trailer, and they tried to cover it with some stuff, put some hay on it.
Right.
Hay bales around and stuff like that, and I thought then, I said, we could do better than that. We need to. As Shelby, just our community, we can do better than that. And so I went and found a trailer, a portable trailer, and started working on a stage. And for months, my wife would look out the kitchen window and say, "What in the world are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to build a stage. And next year, the block parties, I want to offer it to them and see if they will, I said, it's a little step up, and so finally the next year I brought it to Uptown Shelby, and I said, I want to offer this for you, and we did one show, and they loved it, the bands loved it, and from then I've done every block party in Uptown Shelby for the last 35 years.
So I guess that, and expanded it to other places.
Absolutely. We do... we do block parties all around Lincoln, Cherville. I mean, every small town around Belmont. Just all around Far City.
But that's good, because you got places, but you don't have to go real far.
That's right. And we try to keep it within 50, 60 mile radius now.
Well, that's great now. Yeah. I mean, I see how when you were first building it, you would probably go anywhere you could just about to make it work.
We've traveled to Asheville so many times back in the day. I wore out two vehicles.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Traveled to Raleigh, you know, so many times. It's unbelievable. We would go to Raleigh and set up stage and audio and sleep in our vehicles that night and drive back the next day, you know.
And I guess you do have to keep a crew of people to do that. I mean, that's not something that you can go and do with two people.
Right, right. You know? You know, when I first designed my stage, I built it so that I could set it up.
Right, which is great, yeah.
I couldn't depend on anybody, or I didn't have the money.
Right, to pay anybody.
To depend on them.
Right.
I wanted to be able to do it myself.
Sure.
So I could set the stage up myself and then unload the trailer, and it just took a while.
Yeah.
In the early days, you know, I was doing it all by myself. And then got some built-in workers. Started having kids.
Yeah, that'll build them in.
But my son and daughter both do most of that now. I don't travel around so much.
I don't
ever anymore. Doug and Kat both.
Well, that's good companies. Because you got them. Well, I mean, they've seen it from the ground up, so they know it. And obviously they're dependable. So
they are. They you know they complain once in a while, but
sure.
All workers do. And
that's fixing to say,
but. I keep telling them, I said, you know, this kingdom will be yours
one day.
And, you know, you can do with it what you will when I'm gone.
But. I mean, that's one of the ways I look at it is they don't call it a job. No, it doesn't matter what job you have those days.
That's right.
I mean, the best of jobs have those days.
Yeah.
I think about musicians, and what I've learned pretty much is even when you have it made, it's a traveling second/third shift job.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gone. You don't sleep in your own bed. I mean, even on the high end, maybe the star himself, but his band, there's band people. They may sleep in a nicer bus than they did when they were sleeping in the van. But I mean,
right? Yeah, but they're still in a vehicle.
And they may when they get to stay in a motel, get to stay in a nicer one than a Motel 6 or something somewhere. You know.
Yeah.
But it's still. I mean, no job. There's no job that doesn't have its problems. Not a good job. I mean, not a job you'd want to do.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this job, it's the best job I've ever had.
Well, in theory, it looks like a really good job.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of.
There's some days.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are, and I'm sure there's. As with everything, when you're in a community. There's an array of outside factors that factor in on the theater here too. I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
there is.
Yeah.
You know, and we just chug along.
Yeah.
Do what we can do and try to make the best of all situations. You know.
I'm always surprised that the involvement that Bobby Gibson is still able to put in here.
Oh, absolutely! Bobby comes to every show.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I'm really, it just kind of amazes me. I mean, I take it her love of music is probably as much as her husband's was.
Oh, absolutely, Bobby. You know, she loves all types of music. Of course, country is
of
her
course,
favorite.
Yeah, and, of course.
But she attends a lot of the stuff at Earl Scruggs Center.
Yeah.
And on occasion we have bands here that I tell her, okay, Bobby, it's going to be loud.
Right.
And, you know, her seat is on the front
right.
row
yeah,
here
yeah,
at
yeah,
the
yeah.
Don Gibson Theater. And even on those shows, she's on
still
the front
come.
Row. And she's right there with it, you know.
I mean, bless her for that. That is great, you know. Yeah. I mean, I should be so lucky to let her on in my life to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a wonderful thing. It's your biggest show.
That's
well, you've
hard.
Had you've had well, I, any of your shows that sell out is a biggest show, and
right.
I mean, you sold a bunch of those out, and there's no way to really go past. Well, it was a full house, and that's the best thing you can say, I guess. You know, I mean, maybe you have one person that's fill the house every time, you know, something like that, but you fill this house most of the time.
We fill in a good number of times before COVID. The 3 years before COVID was our biggest years.
Yeah.
COVID sort of.
Oh, it changed everything. Yeah, it did.
But we're getting back. I mean, we were at, before COVID, we were at 74% ticket sales, which is
pretty good. Yeah, I agree.
With about more than half of our shows were sold out. And then probably 25% were at 75% to 90%.
Yeah.
And
is there a range? Or you don't have to say it, but is there a range that you need to hit to an attendance range to at least break even?
Every show is different.
Yeah, I guess it would be.
And I gauge it that way. I know how many tickets I need to sell to break even.
Okay, then that's.
And I need, and you know, on some shows it's 20%.
Yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
Some shows it's 50.
Right.
Some shows are 75%.
Yeah.
And I hardly ever book a show that I have to sell 100% of the tickets.
That's good.
I think that's unfair to think that I can do that.
Well, that's,
but I mean,
that's pressure.
When we do have a sold out crowd, if it's sold out, we usually make a dollar or two.
Well, that's good. I mean, because I know from being in the entertainment business just about all my life in a whole bunch of different ways, you're gonna have some that flop, you know.
I mean, you know, it's like I always put it to people like, you know, Babe Ruth was a home run record
sure.
holder. He was also the strikeout record
yeah,
holder.
I mean, yeah,
you know, he was the king of the bat in both aspects.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think that happens. I mean, what I've learned over the years is some of the ones that are really well keep the other ones going. I mean, make
right.
the other ones possible.
Yeah. And that's the way I look at it. You know, I look at it. I look at the big picture
right.
more than I do, you know, each show individually.
Sure. Yeah.
If you look at each show individually, probably would lose your mind
yeah.
trying to figure out why didn't we sell
more than
more
what
tickets,
we did. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you do have to look at the big picture. I think you do. Well, you know, it's one of those things too that that it's hard. It's a hard prediction. I mean, and you never know with what's going on in town. I mean, I've learned that as a performer. You wonder why you didn't have a crowd, and then you realize, say Shelby High School's playing in a championship round of some type, or the fair's going on. I mean, which I guess you've learned when not to book things too.
Yeah.
And
you know, there's and as our town grows and as our town gets more popular, it gets harder.
Yeah,
because there's so many things going on.
Yeah, there's.
You know, we slow down and we don't go completely dark, but we do go. Slow down in the summer.
Sure.
All the outdoor events that are going on and everything. It's hard to compete with a free show.
I agree it is. And people aren't here. I mean, they're gone on vacations. So, I mean, that's pretty watch. Plus, the community is growing, though, which should be really good, too. I mean,
yeah.
It is growing. Like, there's a house everywhere, apartments everywhere. And when I think, well, nobody's going to buy the house. And I go by there 2 weeks later and somebody's living in it.
For a record amount.
Houses that several years ago you could have bought for half or less than what they've gone for.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast we're growing in that aspect.
It is.
You know, we've got, I think there's upwards of 4,000 houses that are going to be built in the next 10 years.
Sure.
And here in Cleveland County,
sure.
you know. Yeah. Right in Shelby, actually.
And, you know, it's spilling over from Charlotte, you know. I mean, you've seen Belmont really grow big, and even Gastonia, which I would have bet Gastonia would have stayed the same forever, but it's even has a pretty big growth cycle going. So we're the next logical stop.
Yeah. I mean, you know, folks are deciding that they would love to live in a small town like this and
right.
drive 40 miles.
Sure.
Instead of living downtown.
And we're kind of between, like, the Asheville area, Charlotte area, so
yeah.
it's a good location, I mean.
Charlotte, Asheville, Greenville.
Greenville, too, yeah. Oh, yeah, which has exploded to the point they've outgrown themselves.
Yeah,
I mean,
they have. It's crazy down there.
You can't even get around down there anymore.
Yeah.
I try not even to take music shows that direction. I mean, that's always been the Spartanburg Greenville area has always been good for musicians, but now it's such a hassle to get there. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's tough. Well, you know, in theory, you could book this way more than what you do.
Yeah.
But then you do have to start looking at your I mean, when somebody can see something anytime they want to, it does cut into, I mean, you may have 100 people every weekend, but it's not the same as having four, because you got more costs, more people involved.
Yeah, and I get that question a good number of times as well. Why don't we have something every weekend?
Right.
And we could have something every weekend, but I think it would as many things that we have going on in Shelby and Cleveland
right.
County, we would be fighting against each other's crowd. We
yep.
only have, you know, a certain number of folks, a percentage of folks that
sure.
are going to come to a show or do an event
right.
of any kind, you know, and it's not 100%, even
right.
though we've got 26, you know,
sure.
22,000 folks living here.
Right.
You know, there's only a small percentage of that is going to go to an event or to a show.
True. And plus, you kind of have to, particularly in this theater, I guess a lot of your people come from out of town too.
Yeah, actually, you know, people don't realize we've got about 46% that come from local.
Sure.
And then we've got over 50% that come from
yeah.
more than, I would say more than 20 miles, 25
yeah.
miles. And so, you know, that's on the other side of Kings Mountain, other side of Forest City.
Sure.
I mean, it's a pretty good little circle.
You know, that's one of the things that I think so many people miss here is if you just promote to the people here, there's not enough people to keep you going at just about anything. You have to make people want to come to Shelby, want to come to the Don Gibson Theater, not from Shelby, but from other places.
Yeah, and, you know, every show we've had and every show that we will have, I hope, continues. We have people from 3, 4, and 5 states
yeah.
around us, and they drive in
sure.
for these shows. They either like to follow the artist or they love the Don Gibson
yeah.
Theater. You know, we started a new review page, and you can send in your reviews
right.
of the show and – it is unbelievable how many folks drive 100 miles
yeah.
to come
see
to the Don Gibson
and come
Theater.
To the Don. Well, yeah. I mean, particularly if you get the double whammy, there's somebody you really want to see and you get to see them here, then you will make a longer journey, you know, because people that follow people, well, they'll go see them just about anywhere, but people that follow people also really like to go to the better venues.
That's right. You know, and when we have an act that was has played at some of the places in Charlotte,
right,
it's night and day different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's not that we're better than them.
Right.
Excuse me. It's not that we're better than them. It's different.
Right.
You know, and I like to think that we try to keep the place clean. I like to think that we – you know, when you come to the Don Gibson Theater, the bathrooms are clean. You go
yep.
to the, you know, seats, and there's not chewing gum all over
sure.
the seats. There's not stuff spilled everywhere.
And I can tell you that is the truth. I've had the luxury of not just being in the seat, but being around the whole facility. And it is. It's one of the cleanest facilities I've ever been in.
Which,
when you go in a bunch of them, more are not than are.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, if you go to a lot of concerts, or if you go to a few concerts, if you journey out much, you know, I would put our theater against anyone
yeah.
that there is out there.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we'll take we'll even take your green rooms, so they're always in great shape. Man, I've been in those things that are horrible that you think nobody's ever gone in there and cleaned the whole
right.
time. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you know,
we're proud of our green rooms.
And the musicians are terrible about leaving stuff, and you know, so.
Yeah. Miss Gibson was instrumental in wanting to do a green room here at the Don Gibson, mm-hmm. and she wanted to model it after the Grand Ole Opry.
They're great. I mean,
so if you ever get a chance,
yeah,
come see the green room.
Yeah. I mean, really, it is. And really, now you have developed a almost history or a museum on your walls of who's played here.
Yeah, we that was one of the first things that I did when I was here. I wanted to start a little autograph section backstage so we'd have something to talk about during tours and all of that. And it has just blown up.
It's
amazing how many folks that have signed our walls.
It's a local history to a rock and roll history to the history of American music.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
we've got artists, you know, signed back there that never will sign a wall again.
Yeah, I agree.
We've got Whitney Houston.
Sure.
Lisa Marie Presley.
Right.
Dr. Ralph Stanley.
Yeah.
You know, from Bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
And, we've got folks that tour every week that are signed on their wall.
Yeah, that's true. So. That's true. I mean, that's not something that everyone gets to see, but probably if somebody listened to this and I really like to see that, they could probably come see you and you would show it to them.
They could. And we do tours here. We offer tours. We do group tours. And on occasion, we'll tie in with the Earl Scruggs Center and they'll have a bus tour come in, or we will have one and they'll go up there.
Well, now, can people rent? Can they even rent this part, or can they just rent the small part?
They can rent the whole theater, part of the theater. They could rent just the stage. I've had parties on stage.
Oh, really?
Backstage parties.
Yeah.
You know, and the stage, I can accommodate up to 40 people on stage.
Yeah, I can see that easily.
A little intimate party.
Yeah.
Do it under the lights of the
stage. That's pretty cool.
On the stage.
Oh, yeah, you could even put the mood lighting on it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And I've done that on occasion. But then, of course, we have the event space that we do rent out quite often.
Yeah.
We do about 50 or 60 days a year.
That's good.
Rentals on that. And
it's a nice facility itself.
Yeah. It's got a full bar.
Yeah.
Kitchen facilities for catering. And, we do all kind of events there. We've got class reunion slated for this year already, and we've got wedding receptions. And
it'd be a great place, yeah.
Yeah, we've had several weddings, I think, upwards of 10 or 12 weddings on stage, and then the reception in the event space.
That would be really cool, yeah.
So it's, one-stop shop, I'd say. And
yeah, I'd say that's pretty cool. Yeah, it is pretty cool. And, companies have rented different.
Oh, absolutely. We do a lot.
A lot of corporate stuff, right?
Corporate stuff, yeah. The city uses it on occasion. Anything you can think of, we've had over there. We've had some small award shows here at the theater.
Right.
And I remember the last big one we had was a Demolition Derby award show. They got all their trophies.
I mean, that's pretty cool, though.
That's pretty cool, you know. And, but we do all kind of stuff. We've got, in the next few weeks, we've got a qualification round for the state, I think this one is for the state, but it's bodybuilding.
Oh, really? Would be a great stage for that.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do. There'll be 150 competitors here. And
that's really cool.
That will, do their thing.
Sure, can come in.
And then qualify for the state.
Come in and do their little flex thing. I mean, that would be pretty. I'm going to see that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We do three of those a year.
Really?
One of them is a state qualifier, and two of them are national qualifiers.
Really?
They go from here to the nationals straight up. So
wow.
It's pretty cool that they.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I never thought about even something like that happening here, so that is even really cool.
Yeah, they we put that on. We don't put it on. It's a rental for us, and it's pretty interesting.
And that's pretty. That would probably be a pretty easy rental too. I mean,
actually, it's not.
Really,
it's not an easy rental. We have to do so much to get ready for them. You mentioned their back wall, our signing wall, and all of that. actually cover that with plastic.
I don't blame you because I know they're all greased up. Yeah. I know they are. I guess it's harder.
I used to cover a carpet in the big room, and
right.
Now we've got new floor in there. I don't have to cover it, but I put up drapes that cover the walls. And I mean, you know, it is a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
to
have an event that people don't, you don't think about.
I don't even think about it. I didn't even know that. Have you ever had just a total disaster?
As far as a show?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, say maybe the lighting went out or.
No. We have never had a show that the sound didn't work, the lights didn't work. We've never had a show that, any technical problems.
That's great. That's fabulous.
Now, we may next week.
Yeah, well, I probably. That's the jinx. Yeah, that's the jinx I just put out there, I guess.
But some other disasters, ticket sales, you know, I booked a show, and just as you said earlier, you sort of either don't realize or so many things that are going on around town, and I booked a show, and we had, you know, about 40 people here,
right?
You know, and 40 people in a 400 seat venue is not real good, but we turned it into a party.
Well,
and we took it over to the events space.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
We opened the bar, and you know, 40 people turned into 60 because we started calling folks and saying, "Come on over." And in the event space, 60 people.
It's full.
And those 60 folks got to see a national traveling artist and we turned it into a dance party.
So that's good to be able to adapt like that.
Yeah,
that's good. I guess that artist was pretty flexible too.
They were.
Because it would be better, truthfully, to party over there than to play to 40 people out here.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they liked it over there. They had never been to the Don Gibson Theater. And so they liked it over there that it was more energetic. People really got into it. It was more of a party atmosphere.
Sure.
And so it was cool.
Has most people been nice, or have you had some?
I'm not going to call any.
No, you don't. I don't ever do that either.
But we've had over 400 artists here.
Right.
400 bands or artists. And I could only name one or two that were
a problem.
A little bit of a problem. But they turned out to be, when it was all said and done, turned out to be great.
Yeah.
You know. And, majority of the folks are folks.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, what I've learned, too, everybody has their bad days, too, you know.
Yeah.
And particularly if you're on the road somewhere, it's easy to wish you were home or I'm tired. You know, we're 3 days left in a tour and I'm tired, you know. So it's easy to be sometimes not your best you, you know.
Yeah, and you never know what people are going through. I mean,
you don't.
You know, they might have lost a loved one that week, and they still do the show.
Yep. I mean,
they still have to do the show.
They may be going through marital problems, money problems. Yeah.
You know, there's a number of things that you just don't realize, and it's not your place to. You know,
sure, it's not.
Try to ask about it or fix it.
Not.
You just understand, I think.
Yeah, I think you know, you do.
If you're understanding, I think it's.
I think it is. What else we need to know?
I think we've covered a big majority of it.
I think we have. I think this has been a really good and fun interview.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed it.
I have too. Thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you. And I tell you, I don't know how, if it's ever happened, but. I would love to interview you.
When the time comes.
I know.
When the time comes, I'll let you.
We've talked about some things, you know, off of the microphones. You know, we've talked about things, and there's a whole realm of interesting things that I'd love to get into the sticks with you on.
Yeah, there's a story or two.
So one of these days I'll turn into the interviewer,
all right.
And you be the interviewee.
I'll let you do it.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.